Are we ready to go, Erwin?
We are ready.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Here we have. Welcome, everybody. We appear to have a quorum. So will the clerk please call the roll?
Committee member Tognazzini. Committee member Costanzo. Committee member Donnelly's.
Here.
Committee member Peck.
Yes,
here. Chair Peck, excuse me. Committee member Hansen.
Here.
And committee member Dowdy.
Here. The first item on the agenda, are any announcements from committee members? None. Any special announcements from the director?
So as far as director announcements, this afternoon. So I'm going to hand it over in a minute to Amy Sinsheimer with PlaceWorks to give a presentation on the scope of work and PlaceWorks' proposed public engagement plan. Your agenda packet also includes a summary of what I'm calling waterfront initiatives that are currently ongoing or upcoming. So I wanted to It is an agenda item as part of the staff report. I guess we can get to that when we get to that agenda item, but I'm ready to discuss that. The only other announcement is just a public service announcement. So our clerk who takes the minutes while watching the video after the meeting's end was having some difficulty hearing committee members. So if you can please remember to speak directly into your mic so it picks up clearly on the recording. That's all I have for director updates.
Under public comment on items on the agenda, under the city's rules for special advisory committees, members of the public are given an opportunity to provide public comment for items on the agenda following the staff presentation on each agenda item. This afternoon, staff will provide a report on item 5B, subcomponents, after which the committee will open up the meeting for public comments. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes as normal. After that, the committee will review the agenda items and take its actions. As always, community members are encouraged to submit agenda correspondence via email prior to the meeting. Our first action item is the minutes from the June 5th special meeting. Are there any corrections or modifications to the minutes, members? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I move approval of the consent.
A second.
Clerk, call the roll.
We could probably do a voice vote on the minutes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. None opposed.
Our next item has three components to it. The first being an update to the information on projects that are currently underway in or adjacent to the master plan. This will provide committee members an opportunity to have common knowledge base as to what is currently in process. Second is a review of the project scope of work that was approved by the City Council, and the third is a review and comment on the draft engagement plan. I'll ask for committee questions on the individual items, followed by public comments on all three, followed by our actions. Director Singwall, would you like to get us started on item 5B?
Yeah, so good afternoon, Erwin Singwall, Community Development Director. So I am going to just start off very briefly. The bulk of the presentation will be from the consultant this afternoon. But like I mentioned earlier, we did put together this table of current and upcoming waterfront initiatives. This came up at the last WMPAC meeting. I think it's well understood that there are several very important projects that are currently underway or just on the horizon affecting the waterfront. And I think one of the goals and requirements for the Waterfront Master Plan is, we kind of tie in and integrate into these existing work efforts whenever possible. So I wanted to just kind of start by level setting on the basic facts of all of these initiatives. I'm not going to go into each one in any detail, but they are provided in the table attached to your staff report. They include the Coleman Park Concept Plan, Market Plaza Redevelopment, Morro Rock Visitor Access Enhancement Plan, Morro Dunes RV Park Lease, Wastewater Treatment Plant Decommissioning, the former concrete plant at 180 Atascadero Road, decommissioning the Libertine redevelopment, at lease extension, Bayside Landing development, Maritime Museum, and of course there's also a number of other tidelands leases that will be coming up for renewal in the near term. The background report, which is one of the earlier tasks of the Waterfront Master Plan, is going to go into much greater detail on these individual initiatives with maps and any existing concept plans. You know, for example, there is a concept plan currently available for Coleman Park. I understand Maritime Museum also has their concept plan for Maritime Museum expansion, which is within the project area. So those kind of graphic displays and detail will be provided in the background report. Also, a number of these items are currently led by our Public Works Department. So I spoke with Greg Wallach, Public Works Director. He intends to attend an upcoming WMPAC meeting to give a presentation, for example, on the Coleman Park concept and engineering plan, the recent contract the council approved for engineering services for a wastewater treatment plant decommissioning. So Mr. Qualick will provide a presentation on those and answer any questions that the committee has. So again, it's very high level. Just want to show that, you know, we recognize all of these initiatives currently underway. I will provide updates to the committee at all of the upcoming WMPAC meetings, just to let you know if any, you know, what progress has been made or upcoming milestones for all these existing initiatives. That's all I have before I turn it over to our consultant to give a presentation, unless there's committee questions about those current and upcoming waterfront initiatives.
Questions from the Bureau provided so far?
Yeah, I think we brought this up last time about the Coleman Park, because there's an RFP out. But one of the things that went with that RFP is an exhibit of what they wanted to put in there, like a plaza or stage or whatnot. And it seems to me everything that we decide here has to be consistent with the Coastal Act. And it seems to me that a plaza is not something that needs to be near the sea to be able to function. Therefore, it's not coastal dependent. Is it a feature that eventually go to the Coastal Commission and get bounced back because they shouldn't have that there? It could almost go anywhere, but it doesn't need to be by the sea, because it's an area a lot of people come to see the wildlife, the peace and quiet at that location, and then to have a plaza with some sound stage there will disrupt all of that. So I'm just wondering if we can nip that in the bud early to say that probably doesn't go there. It doesn't need to be there.
I think one of the was being brought forward as my request after the last meeting to make sure we're sort of all understanding what's going on, probably different levels, but it's probably useful to know that in many respects, we're not an approving or deliberative body on these items. So in terms of evaluating that, staff may wish to bring it back to us at an appropriate time. That would be the function of the Planning Commission, Advisory Board, Coastal Commission. I just want to make sure that we sort of understand what our role is in that. And there's probably going to be some things I'd like to comment on that maybe not within our jurisdiction. Right. Any other questions?
Yes. You mentioned the Libertine, and they pulled their proposal. Also, in conjunction with that, is the Gray's Inn 2 has removed their project from the city. Proposals, and then there's Paul Gilling's project. He's pulled this from the Coastal Commission, and most of these are due to conditions that the lease holders just can't make financially. So I think that we need to know just how hard it is to build on the waterfront. It's extremely, extremely expensive and hard to do, and it's got to be economically feasible.
Any other questions or comments on the list of initiatives?
I would just maybe to address committee member Dowdy's comment briefly. I think that's, you know, an excellent comment, and one of the agenda items is the public engagement plan. And yesterday when we met with a consultant, one of the things we talked about is the importance of the consultant doing interviews with recent developers on the Embarcadero, just to understand some of the obstacles that they experience, because that is a very important part of the discussion.
On to the next item.
Yeah, so for the next item, consultant Amy Sinsheimer will give a staff presentation on the scope of work.
Great, thank you, Erlyn. Good evening, committee, and I'm happy to be here. Wasn't able to be at your first meeting, so we're very excited to be getting started. And with me tonight is also Alan Loomis sitting over here. He's a key part of our project team, and we were lucky to go out yesterday on a very nice day along the waterfront and do a tour. So that, we are going to talk about our scope of work. I believe this was presented to you at your first meeting, so we're really here to go over it in a little more detail and answer any questions. We'll get into the draft public engagement plan for probably the bulk of our discussion, and then after the agenda item, we'll talk about our next meeting, which will involve a tour. So as I said yesterday, the consultant team met with city staff and toured the project area and learned about a lot of the things that you guys are getting up to speed on, but some of us aren't as familiar. So it's been really nice to get to have that experience yesterday. And then this part of the scope also includes, you know, ongoing calls with staff, as well as making sure we're staying on track with managing the project. So this slide covers the public outreach because we are going to dive into this quite a bit later in the meeting. We have a summary here, but I think I'll just list out what it includes and we'll get into the details a little later. We have drafted the public engagement plan, which we're going to receive input on tonight. Another activity that will happen fairly soon, as Erlyn mentioned, is small focus group and stakeholder interviews, and those are with people who are very knowledgeable about different things that affect the waterfront, and we'll talk about some of the proposed stakeholders and organizations to consider a little later. We will have 16 meetings with your group starting tonight, and we'll detail that out a little more as well. There will be up to 5 community workshops throughout the process. We'll meet with the Planning Commission and City Council as well, and do an online survey community-wide, probably a little later in the project when we have more to get input on about what we're thinking might be in the plan. And then we're also developing some project branding, and we've begun working on that, but it's not finished yet. So in terms of the content of the work outside of the outreach, some of the earlier parts of the work include a market analysis. This is gathering demographic data, benchmarking, where our team is going to look at other waterfronts that may inform what could happen, you know, moving forward with the update in Morro Bay, and also market data, real estate data, and so forth. And that's, again, one of the earlier products that will come to you to look at, as well as be then incorporated into our administrative draft of the plan. We're also looking at circulation, transportation, traffic, and all of those things that affect the experience of traveling in the master plan area. And so that will have a lot of background work that has already happened be a starting point, and then also collect some new data, and of course take input from the community on transportation and circulation issues. The plan also calls for work designing what could go at the street ends along the Embarcadero where there is currently parking. I think it's up to 7 of those areas could be looked at, and we'll work with staff and the community to identify, you know, where the priorities are and what is needed to add to the experience there. And finally, on this slide, the design guidelines, as you know, are a key part of the existing waterfront master plan, and we'll be updating those to address the current conditions, to bring it into the 21st century in terms of the, you know, what's depicted in there, and make it more user-friendly. It will focus a lot on the public realm, but will also include, you know, the built environment. So Erlyn mentioned that the background report will be another somewhat early part of the project. This is where a lot of the findings from the early outreach, as well as the deliverables that we talked about on the last slide, will be put together into kind of, you know, what are we seeing is happening now in 2025 compared to 1996, and where might we go in your plan moving forward and on the waterfront. So then we'll be doing a visioning process. Again, that will build on the outreach that has happened before that and come up with a vision for this plan. The administrative draft of the WMP will be, you know, the big piece that brings it all together. That'll have conceptual land use and circulation concepts that will include the whole existing plan area and then the new planning areas that don't have, you know, visitor serving uses on them now, for example, or perhaps have some change that is anticipated. We'll again be focusing on circulation and parking throughout the project, also looking at the leases and other revenue producing uses along the waterfront, and also, you know, what are the redevelopment opportunities and how does the timing work for that? I think this is gonna be a theme throughout the project. Erlyn already talked about it with the kind of near-term and concurrent project item, is really thinking about the timing for lots of different parts of this area and how priorities are put in place and how it all works together to be a good plan that can, you know, accommodate things that change in the future, but also anticipate where we are now with this dynamic situation. And then we will be, of course, bringing that plan forward for public comment and comment from the WMPAC, as well as the Planning Commission and Council. And then that draft will be refined, presented to the Planning Commission and Council for consideration, and then there will be a final version. This is a document that's subject to the California Environmental Quality Act, so the plan is to do an addendum to the Plan Morro Bay EIR, which would, I believe, will satisfy the CEQA requirements. And then the final part of the scope of work is really the parallel and complementary process to look at sea level rise data and projections for the city and update that information that was included and analyzed for Plan Morro Bay. This will run parallel, but then end a little bit earlier than the overall waterfront master plan process so that it can inform what is proposed in the waterfront master plan, and the, you know, technical information can be used to make sure that the recommendations are making sense in terms of potential sea level rise and impacts that come with that. This part of the work will be reviewed by Coastal Commission as it's drafted. So the waterfront master plan will go to Coastal Commission after the city has approved it. There may be some dialogue with them along the way, but this part of the work will be reviewed by them, and that's, I believe, part of the requirements of the grant. So that's it for the scope of work. I know that was fairly high level, so if you would like, Chair, we could pause here to take questions before we go on to the next part of the presentation.
Yes, please. Any questions from the director or consultant on the scope of work?
Yeah, I wanted to go back on this, what is it, tab the page. About the street end parking that you show that you want to replace with a plaza, much like the thing I mentioned in Coleman Park, it's not necessary to be there near the sea to be able to function, therefore it's not coastal dependent. And one can argue that the parking that's there now is necessary for those businesses down there to function. I've talked to a lot of businesses down there about it, and it goes, oh man, we don't want to lose our parking, and you lose, I think, 4 or 6 handicap parkings as well. At the same time, you're short on parking. So you're eliminating parking, you're short on parking, you're putting in something that's not coastal dependent. It seems to me that we're going down the wrong avenue with considering those ideas. Much like the Centennial Parkway idea at the Libertine, again, that's not coastal dependent, doesn't need to be there, and the parking is going to be lost. And I can see that the last time that they did the restriping down there, they didn't do the Libertine. So it's like they're anticipating doing that plaza, the location. So if this ever does get to the Coastal Commission, will they be kicking it back because it doesn't meet the Coastal Act? That's just my concern about that. And on top of that, the way the areas that circulate in that area and the people are looking for parking, they'll park as close as they can to a business or in that district. And to eliminate, I don't know what you mitigate to create a new parking spot somewhere else. It just doesn't exist.
So I'll go ahead and respond. So first of all, the policy you're referring to is in Plan Morro Bay. The waterfront master plan ultimately will have to be found consistent with Plan Morro Bay. We hear your comments, we hear your concerns. We've heard those similar comments in the past from other community members. This early stage in the process, we're not beginning to talk about policy decisions, but I think there will be a point later in the process for the WMPAC will weigh in on different policy options.
Thank you. Any other questions on the scope of work?
Okay, great. So in your packet is a draft public engagement plan that provides additional detail and information about the tasks that are included in task 2 of the scope of work that we just briefly touched on. So the purpose is really to confirm the goals and objectives for the public outreach efforts, to establish this action plan for engaging with the community and stakeholders, which could be changed a bit over time as we move through the process, but we'd like to have a kind of a roadmap as we begin. It also will assist city staff in managing expectations of all of the decision makers and public regarding the engagement and what's feasible for this project. We've included some principles of collaboration, and these would be for anybody participating in the update process, that we are one team with a shared goal of a balanced waterfront master plan. We all have the best interests of the waterfront in mind, that we'd like to build consensus among diverse stakeholders in order to make important decisions. That can be a tall order when there's different opinions, but that's our goal. Also promote balanced dialogue by taking space and making space, so really, allowing people to have their say. And finally, all participants should be and must be treated with respect for this to be a fruitful process. We have the project objectives listed here. I believe you went over these at your first meeting. They have not changed much. I think the main change is expanding the plan's boundaries to include the city-owned parcels known as Market Plaza may have been added since then. So I will not read every single one, but this is really the objectives for the plan itself. And then we have included some outreach objectives for this public outreach plan. And they include building a constituency of engaged stakeholders, listening to the public and stakeholders, working to engage a full spectrum of local residents, providing broad-reaching and transparent community engagement, and using technology and online platforms as makes sense to broaden the engagement and have multiple options. So that's a paraphrase. I'm happy to discuss any of these as you would like. And I think that might be, a good place to pause one more time if anyone has any questions or input on that kind of introductory part of the plan before we move into the actual tasks.
Mr. Doherty?
Yes, under your stakeholders, I think maybe you may want to include the mariculture community. You're part of us. And then on your project objectives, we're not including anything on the water side. Is that correct? So in a sense, all we have is a front master plan.
So I think we're going to talk a little more about stakeholders in a minute, and I appreciate your input, but I will see if Erlyn wants to respond to the question about the water side. Maybe I heard it wrong.
So the waterfront master plan, you know, includes all of the Tidelands lease sites, and that would include the water side as well as the land side of the lease sites.
Reese, any questions on those? Questions, Mark?
Okay. So again, we have this list of the type of outreach that we're doing. We've already gone over in the scope of work. And now we do want to ask for your input about potential stakeholders to include in the small focus groups and the interviews that we're going to do in the next few months. And in the draft plan, you'll see that these groups are broken into recommended and possible stakeholders. We've grouped them all together for the purposes of the PowerPoint, and there are two slides. So I'll just pause on the first one that includes environmental groups as well as much of the list of potential business community folks. I will point out that sometimes a specific group is mentioned. Sometimes it's a category, for example, Embarcadero employees or marine contractors. So we're looking for your thoughts on, you know, what are the most important groups or organizations to include, and are we missing anyone on this list? So thank you, Mr. Dowdy, for your initial suggestion, and we are excited to talk more. And then I will now go to the next slide. So this is the end of the business community list, and then a community groups list, as well as government agencies.
Are you looking for specific feedback now on this part of it, or shall we take the public comments and then deliberate on that matter?
Well, I think we were talking about receiving feedback from the committee now.
Okay.
I'll just add that for a little more context, when we do these meetings, we will not necessarily have the groups like you see here on the slide. This is more of a topic-based organization, and there are some that have more people in them. So, but ideally, we would kind of land where we have topics that each group has an expertise on, and we think it'll be, you know, maybe 4 to 6 people per small group, and then we will do some individual interviews as well. And so once we know what your input is and we work with the staff, then we'll come up with kind of a final list of folks to invite and conduct those meetings.
Perhaps we can finish the presentation, take public input on that, close that, and then we can discuss specific comments.
Okay. Maybe
more appropriate in terms of public comment.
That sounds good. Okay, so then moving on to another part of the engagement plan is the Waterfront Master Plan Advisory Committee, your group. And we're here at meeting number 1 of the 16. I know you had one meeting before we started the 16 meeting series, but we're here tonight going over this agenda. The plan for the next meeting, which is August 7th, is to do a tour with your committee that will be open to the public, and we'll be talking with you a little bit more about that later. The rest of the slide shows, you know, some suggested tentative meeting topics that are based on the schedule and what we think we'll be ready to talk with you about at that point in the project. It is likely to shift a little bit as we move through the process, but this gives you an idea of the types of things that we're going to be bringing to you. And then there's a second slide for this as well. So the idea is we will be wrapping up you know, just a little bit ahead of when the project finishes and is goes to the Planning Commission and the Council with the meetings with the WOMPAC.
Any questions from the consultant or director on this part of the engagement plan?
The next meeting you're saving have the waterfront tour, are we meeting here and then going down there, or what are we doing?
So thank you for that question, Committee Member Donnelly's. So that's a good question. So one of our goals for this meeting is to get some input from the WOMPAC on how you would like that tour to happen. We have some initial ideas on how it will be structured, but then at the end of the agenda, we'll ask for committee members to bring up ideas.
Anything else on the presentation?
We have a few more slides, okay. Yes. So another key part of the outreach will be public workshops. We expect workshop number one will happen this fall, and that will to introduce the project to the general public who come to the workshop, in addition to presenting some findings from the market analysis and circulation background conditions report. The rest of the workshops are expected to happen after the first of the year. The next one probably would include presenting the background report, starting to gather input for the vision, and also doing activities related to the vision, possibly some surveying, you know, looking at different preferences related to design and the kind of the feel of the waterfront, and also maybe mapping, you know, some of the key locations and assets that we think are, you know, we want to focus on in this plan. Workshop three would be reporting back to the community on what we heard during the visioning, and also how alternatives for land use and circulation are being developed. And there could be some breakout sessions that would include hands-on exercises to think about those alternatives. The fourth workshop is expected to be an outdoor event, so a little bit different, hopefully at a kind of prime location along the waterfront where we can engage with the community and also with visitors. Visitors don't usually come to your traditional planning workshops, so that might be an opportunity to capture some input from that group. And then the final workshop would be to present the final draft plan as well as the environmental document and before the project is over. We are looking for your input on these ideas. So this is a preliminary set of recommendations, and we're definitely interested in other thoughts or approaches if you have ideas about the workshops. So this is our list of questions about the different things we've talked about in the public engagement plan. Do you have any input about the list of potential stakeholders? Do you have any feedback about the proposed approach for the public workshops? Are there any lessons you've learned from other outreach that you've participated in Morro Bay or in general? And what other feedback do you have on the draft engagement plan? And I think maybe we're gonna get your feedback a little later, but just wanted to plant those questions. I think that's end of that part.
Thank you. I think now's the time we're gonna take public comments on the agendized item, the presentation that was made by the director and consultant. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to present comments on the agendized items?
Afternoon, Betty Winholtz, resident. I want to talk about the stakeholders first. I think that in your environmental group, you had MBOSA, the Morro Bay Open Space Alliance, which really has nothing to do with the waterfront or hasn't in the past. And I would suggest you switch them with REACT, who is actively engaged with one of the questions in your document about offshore wind. And I would switch those two, one being recommended and one being possible. Another switch I would make would be that the Quota Club should actually absolutely be included as a fisherman's organization and not as a possibility. And you could switch that with the downtown group. I don't know to what extent downtown businesses are really concerned about the Embarcadero. Maybe more a link, but not them. Also, the Yacht Club was not in the recommended, and I don't know what to, there's, you know, Yacht Club has many, many members, hundreds of members, and I would think they would want to be engaged. I don't have any concerns about the county people that are included, certainly with the government people. It seems to me that the National Estuary should be invited. They may turn you down, but they should be invited. And then overall, where's the public? And maybe you're just assuming would be part of the workshops, but you're not seeing us as stakeholders. And we go down there all the time when the visitors aren't there. So we'd like to be considered stakeholders. My overall comment about the whole plan is that this is very economically directed. It focused. I was hoping that this would be policy directed, contrary to and with respect to the chair, that you're dealing with policy, and that I would expect you to look at what the current waterfront master plan is, because it's a planning document, much like the general plan, and that based on that, then maybe you get into economics. But it seems to me you need to know what's currently existing before you know what to change. And so I would hope that you would do that at some point in one of these meetings that this board needs to, and that you need to educate the board and the public as to what is in the current document, so we know what we're changing. And it seems to me what we're picking on in our tour is potential businesses and how they're changing, but we're not looking at, well, what is it that we like that's the look of this, or what do we not like about what happened here? We're not taking that broader view of what do we want the waterfront to look like, or how do we want to present that to ourselves and to our tourists. But it's more about, you know, each individual business, which I don't think is necessarily appropriate. I'm just going to add something because there's not very many of us here today. And that is just quickly, and it's a housekeeping thing, when we say in the report that there's biweekly meetings, does that mean twice a week or once every 2 weeks? I would assume the other. If you're doing a policy statement, certainly 20 years is an appropriate length. If you're doing economics, that's too long, because too much changes in our economy. And so that should be brought back down. And I don't know that it's appropriate to do an addendum to the EI, or
please wrap up.
The EIR addendum, or if it should actually be a standalone document. Thank you.
Anybody else in the audience on public comments? Yes, please.
Good afternoon, everybody. Judy Setting, longtime resident. Thank you, Betty, for the stakeholder input. I also want to just say that the Yacht Club would definitely want to be considered on that committee. Did I see REACH on there? I don't see what REACH has. Did I see? I don't see what REACH has to do with our little town, so maybe you could flip them out. As far as Morro Bay residents, who are bigger stakeholders than those of us who have lived here and invested our time and money in Morro Bay and our hearts? And when you're considering your plan, I agree that there should be an overall vision that is spelled out, not these little pieces of things, because I am so concerned that you are going to sacrifice and kill a way of life for our community by shutting off the rock to vehicle traffic, by adding concrete and paid this and paid that, and taking away the natural beauty that is what we really love about this little small town. And we love our visitors. We know that we are dependent on tourism. We're happy about that. We're happy to share. The world needs to have everybody sharing. But we don't have to make it into something that it's not to do that. People are happy to come here with a picnic lunch and let their kids sit on the beach and play and run in the waves. And taking away the parking just, I think about all of the elderly that pack a lunch and they drive down to the rock and they just sit and they watch and they enjoy the wildlife and the serenity of the waves and everybody with their water sports. My gosh, when there's storm waves, to be able to drive down there and watch the brave surfers who tackle some of those waves is a treat that we shouldn't have to pay for. So please do not re-encompass the ocean around the rock and take away the way of life that we've enjoyed for so many years. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the audience? The clock isn't setting, by the way.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Eccles, City Council member for Morro Bay. On the stakeholder list, it looks good, it looks exhaustive, and I'm hoping as well to echo some of the comments that the citizens of Morro Bay, the residents, would be almost inferred that they would be part of that group. But one group that I didn't see on there specifically was our youth. Most of us in the room, well, a lot of us in the room, I'll just talk about me. I've got gray hair now, and I had different ideas and more innovative ideas when I was served on student council in high school. And our high school wasn't mentioned. We've got 800 students over there. So certainly the Morro Bay High students and student council should be included on that group. And any other way to reach the youth in our community, because they've got great ideas. Thank you.
Anybody else in the audience? Seeing none, AGP, do we have anybody in the queue?
There is no raised hands on Zoom.
Thank you. We'll close the public comment period, and why don't we bring it back to the committee for their comments, and I'm going to start to my right with Committee Member Dowdy.
Under your stakeholders, I didn't see the Harbor Department. I assume that should be included.
Yep, so Director Munson is an integral part of our staff team on the project, so we well synced up with the Harbor Department.
Committee Member Hansen.
Hey. I do feel that downtown should be approached to have the conversation. I know that a couple downtown businesses, and it is very much a connection situation, but they should still be included and asked. Developers. So I know that they're not current stakeholders, but it would be good to survey different developers who have either done different coastal towns and ask them what it is that was alluring to them to want to be there. Is it, ask them if it's a policy situation with Morro Bay specifically, are there property constraints in Morro Bay? Why are we not attracting different developers that we aren't finding right now? And it would just be nice to just look in and ask them what would be attractive. Maybe not do it, but at least ask them.
Member Donnelly?
Yeah, something that Ms. Winsholz brought up about the existing waterfront plan, and I guess it's current and active, but is it even looked at or utilized? For instance, the project that Paul Gillen did at Reggie's Place, was that utilized for deciding what needed to be done at that location? Do we use the waterfront plan, the existing one?
So yes, that is a good question. I think an example of the kind of utility of the waterfront master plan, once it is complete and certified by Coastal Commission, it would be the primary set of development regulations and standards for any development in the waterfront area.
Member Costanzo.
Yeah, I had some of those same concerns because I saw the 1996 plan, and are we still working off of that? And I don't see how that was integrated in over the years. Have we been referring to that? Have we been using that? So I'd like to see more of that. Yeah, I'd like to see more refer to that as we.
Yeah, so currently any development project within the current waterfront master plan boundaries is subject to the waterfront master plan, and we actively review development projects for consistency with the waterfront master plan.
But I didn't see that on the Coleman Park. It seemed that there was a lot of difference as we put the RFP out. It didn't reflect that of the master plan. I didn't feel it was. That was a concern.
And so my understanding with the Coleman Park concept plan is that it's still a very high-level conceptual plan that'll be fairly developed and fleshed out by this consultant that we're currently in the process of selecting. And you know, part of that process is going to consider consistency with the Coastal Act and the city's local coastal program. And also there'll be public engagement as part of that process as well.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Tognazzini.
I don't recall everything was on there, but I think the sport boats and the tour boats should be really included. They're kind of an entity that get passed by. They're really not part of the Morbeck Commercial Fishermen's Organization. They're kind of their own entity. I don't know if they're organized, but they should be reached out to. I agree that REACH, I'm not sure why REACH would be included. I think it's super important to reach out to visitors and see what they like about Morbay and see what they don't want changed as well as changed. Thank you.
I also had some comments and questions on how you're going to use the list of stakeholders. You propose 4 small focus group meetings and then some one-on-ones. I wasn't quite clear about how that was translating with the list of potential stakeholders. And I think that when I review this list, there were some that were very specific. For example, Morrow Dunes RV Park is on that list. They're a leaseholder with the city. There are other leaseholders specific that aren't on there, so maybe we can be a little more generic. And I think one of the things that was missing from my perspective is that we have some properties and property owners on here, but we don't have all of them. There are some major properties along the east side of the Embarcadero that aren't included, and so maybe there's a category of property owners that needs to be consulted. There are some key players, in my opinion, that probably need to be consulted. PG&E's site is not in, but they're adjacent to. They provide a constraint, so they should certainly be consulted. I agree with the National Estuary Program. They are participating because Melody sits on this committee, so they're certainly committed and interested in this process. But some of the descriptions say Embarcadero employees. I'm not quite sure how that translates, who those are. But maybe a suggestion that we can make these a little more identifiable with a group or a representative, because I don't imagine we're going to have a big meeting of all the Embarcadero employees on a day. So focusing that a little bit. And then kind of reiterating what Vice Chair Tognazzini just said, the tourists or our customers, they're our primary customers. I'm very interested in understanding what they like about it, what sort of funkiness they like about it, and what the experience they think is lacking. I noticed in the presentation on the scope of work there were things about online surveys, but certainly I think it's really important that we not simply design something because it looks good from a planning or architecture standpoint, but I'm interested in understanding, are they satisfied with the cleanliness, the pedestrian facilities? But sometimes customers will tell you something completely different than what you think they're going to tell you. So I think that pushing that one up to find out what our customers and visitors want. I've noted in the past that our day visitor population is going down. It'd be interesting to know why. Are they finding this the experience unsatisfying, or are they finding other options? What do we need to do to bring them here? And what are the things that we need to reinforce and not change? I think that's a real big reality check. And in my framework, getting the market study done and getting the customer preference, understanding the customer preference, the visitor preference, is really important. Any other comments from the committee? Yes, Cherise.
I just wanted to make a comment about some suggestions about, do we use our waterfront master plan right now? And as the last entity to build on the Tidelands property sites, when we were developing the concept plan for the RFP, it was my Bible. just knowing that the closer it is to what is already in the waterfront master plan was supposed to be something that gave us the priority on what would be approved. And it actually did do us favor because some of them were completely off the grid of what was on the waterfront master plan, and we followed it. And then once we finished from conceptual and went into detailed, it even became more of a tool to make sure that if we went different, a little differently from the waterfront master plan, then we needed to make compensations in other areas so we still fit within that scope of the waterfront master plan. So it was a really good document and utilized thoroughly. I did want to say that as far as the Embarcadero employees, as well as master lease holders, as well as all the other sublease people, the EML would be glad to be a part of gathering all of those people in a forum if you wanted to have a special meeting. We could, we've done it in the past and included other leaseholders, but I do think that employees are important as far as giving their side of the story as far as safety, as well as parking and distance and night traffic and just more safety aspects and ability to access their job. That's it.
Thank you. Anything else you need from us, Director?
So I would like to just make a couple comments and at least one question for WMPAC. So most of the comments seem to revolve around adding to the stakeholder list, which is relatively easy to do. We'll have to have some kind of scope conversations and budget conversations with the consultant, but I think we'll find a way to add more groups as needed. The one organization that I heard about removing was REACH. I think with engaging Chamber of Commerce, EML, downtown business owners, Visit Morro Bay, there probably isn't a need to also engage REACH, but before I remove someone, an organization from the list, I just wanted to make sure that the WMPAC would be in concurrence with that, or if there's any thoughts to the contrary. Okay.
I don't have strong feelings about removing it. I think if you're talking to the chamber and visit Morro Bay, I think you're going to get the visitor-oriented information you probably need. REACH will probably be monitoring, but there are a lot of peripheral organizations that will be of interest, but I wouldn't say they're stakeholders.
Yeah, that's my sense as well. Just to respond to a couple of the other comments about groups to add, like I mentioned earlier, I think it does make a lot of sense to talk with developers. A pretty significant part of the scope of work with PlaceWorks is for their economics consultant to look at economic feasibility of different land use options, and I think the firsthand experience of developers on the Embarcadero would be very useful for that. We heard a comment, I think, from the public about having a REACT Alliance as a stakeholder group. We can certainly make sure to add them. Yacht Club was on the list. We'll make sure that we include Yacht Club as well. As far as a member of the public, there is a lot of broad public engagement that will happen as part of this process, and it can be difficult to identify one person to represent the public as far as stakeholder interviews. That being said, I don't think we'd be opposed to interviewing someone who wanted to be a representative of the general public as part of the stakeholder engagement process. And I like the idea, committee member Tognazzini, to interview the sport boat businesses. That's something we hadn't discussed, but that makes a lot of sense. Just in our recent walk up and down the waterfront yesterday, that's clearly a very active part of the economy on the waterfront. So that would make sense to reach out to one of those business owners. Those are all the kind of comments and thoughts I had. I don't know if Amy has any additional.
I don't know if we want to talk now or later about what we did not
accidentally leave NEP out. I know multiple people commented. So we were thinking about the representation on your committee. So I don't know if that's something we need more input on, or we just want to make sure, you know, we want input from NEP.
And if I may just kind of make a, I guess, a closing comment on the public engagement plan discussion. I think it's quite fascinating when you look at our list of stakeholders. It's a very long and diverse list. It really speaks to what a kind of multifaceted planning area we're working with here. And I think really the heart of the Waterfront Master Plan update is to be able to build consensus among these diverse stakeholders. And of course, the WMPAC is kind of a critical body to help us do that.
So, consultant and director, you have what you need on the comments?
We do, thank you.
Okay. I think the recommended motion is that we receive and file these two items. Is there a motion to that regard?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Therese, second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
I'll second.
Aye. I think the last item on the agenda, it's not actually an agendized item, but in preparation for our meeting next month, the staff wanted to talk about the a tour, and I think the questions are, what are the must-see stops on the tour? What are the waterfront areas or topics that we'd like the tour to focus on? Are there any specific logistical concerns we should plan for? Why don't we start with Committee Member Dowdy? And
is this going to be a three-hour tour?
Our tour yesterday was 3 hours. That did include a boat portion.
That's my
I don't think we're going to have a boat ride as part of the WMPAC tour. It's possible if that's what we hear a majority of the WMPAC wants, but just in the interest of time, that may not happen. I thought maybe before we hear comments from committee members, I could just outline our idea of how the meeting's going to go. So while it's not typical to have a Brown Act meeting out in the field, it does happen. And we were talking with Alan Loomis and Amy Sinsheimer yesterday about some of their recent experience conducting Brown Act meetings that are basically a tour out in the community. So it can be structured. We don't necessarily, to Committee Member Donnelly's question earlier, we don't have to necessarily start in this room. As long as we post an agenda that has a real clear schedule telling the public exactly where we're going to be when. So that's kind of our idea right now, is put together that schedule. We'll have different stations up and down the waterfront with different topics at each station. We'll probably have a script prepared of some talking points and then kind of questions that we want to hear from WMPAC on. And then, of course, there will be the public's invited. It's an open Brown Act meeting, so we'll hear from the public as well, and the public's invited to come to any of the stations. I think the advantage of having it set up that way with the different stations and the schedule is if a member of the public only has enough time or is only interested in a certain area of the waterfront, they can just plan to be at whatever station at that time that it's we're scheduled to be there. So that's what we have in mind so far. And then, we just want to hear from WMPAC on any ideas you have.
I disagree with not having a view from the water. It's important to see the public, to see Morro Bay from the water. Maybe you can use the Charisse or something like that, the tour boat, the wine box, whatever you want to call it. But you need to take it from the water.
It all sounds good. Maybe a trolley ride too? I don't know. We're going to hit the wastewater treatment plant too, right? Okay. And if you want a tour of the newest development on the waterfront, I will volunteer a tour of what was congruent with the current waterfront master plan, and then from an economic standpoint, what is really working and what is making the best use of space, which is really important to coastal. That I've learned in my 7 years working on that. Okay.
Member Donnelly?
It seems like big chunk to bite here to do it all, including a water tour and then the old wastewater treatment plant, which is on the other side. Is it possible we could do two tours?
No, I think that would be, it's definitely not in the scope. I think that would be a challenge.
Member Costanzo?
That's what I was thinking, maybe a trolley, is a trolley to each station so we can expedite it a little bit and spend more time on the sites than travel. Were you thinking the trolley to use that, or everybody, how would we move from site to site would be a concern.
I mean, that could raise some logistic challenges. I mean, yesterday on our tour, what we did is we all drove to the wastewater treatment plant on the north end. We did a tour of the wastewater treatment plant. We went on top of the one of the taller structures there, which actually provides a great view of the northern part of the waterfront master plan area. Spent about a half hour there. Then we did drive individually to Tognazzini's parking lot and kind of walked up to Coleman Park and the Rock area, walked around Vistra, and then we got on the boat and did the waterfront, came back and walked the length of the Embarcadero down to Tidelands Park. So it was mostly spent on our feet walking, except for the transportation, again, driving from the wastewater treatment plant to the northern Embarcadero area.
So that did work. I wasn't clear on how many sites that we're going to be looking at. I'm sure we're going to go over here to the old rock plant.
So yeah, we don't have the exact listing of sites yet. That's one of the questions we have for you all, is which sites you'd like us to make sure to include on the tour. I guess the point I was making is, having done this yesterday, it was mostly walking. We didn't spend a lot of time in our vehicle, so I'm not sure there would be a need for a trolley. We could look at, for folks who want to walk the entire length of the Embarcadero down to Tidelands Park, if that ends up being how it's structured, we could arrange to have a vehicle or, if necessary, a trolley to ferry people back to their cars.
I was just curious on how that was going to work and how to get around. But if it worked yesterday, we don't need the trolley.
And I think Amy has kind of some firsthand experience for these types of meetings. I'd like to let her maybe chime in.
That wasn't what I was coming from, but I think all of you probably know the waterfront better than most of the consultant team. So what are the places that are most important for you to have the current information on, or to get staff's, and consultant team's thoughts on, I guess? Are there some places that are more critical than others? We had to go everywhere, really, so that people who had really not been here before very much could see what we were talking about. So I'll throw that in as something to consider.
And I'll tell you right now what makes sense to me is the wastewater treatment plant site, obviously, and I think you can get a good view of Morro Dunes RV Park from the wastewater treatment plant site, and then Coleman Park, Measure D area, Maritime Museum, maybe walking some segments of the Harbor Walk, or having a location for everyone to meet the Harbor Walk. Appreciate Community Member Hansen's invitation. I think that would make a lot of sense to see the most recent development project on the Embarcadero and kind of maybe hear from Cherise's experience there. And then Market Plaza is certainly, I think, a key site to meet at and discuss. There may be a couple other lease sites that are up for renewal where we might want to meet, such as Libertine. Community Member Dowdy mentioned the property next to Gray's Inn, and then Tidelands Park. So those are basically the main sites yesterday, and that'd be my suggestion for the framework for the Wampak tour.
Here's an idea. You guys can walk south and take a boat back.
Yep. Why don't we wait to Mark?
Oh, sorry, Tara.
Yeah, I understand the time restraints, but I do agree with Gene. A lot of visitors, a lot of locals, a lot of regulars see the waterfront from a different point of view when you drive up and down it in a boat. So I do absolutely agree with Gene that we'd be missing a bet if we take that. But I do understand the time restraints that we have the short period of time to see all we have to see.
I think, go ahead, Therese.
No,
yeah. So my comments would be that when I kind of agree with the groups that you put together, Director Singwall, that kind of that area around the wastewater treatment plant and the cement batch plant and that private property on the corner and the Morrow Dunes RV park, getting up in there looking at it and then also having someone tell us what we're looking at. Because to the untrained eye, you don't know that that piece of property has CCNRs on it, or this one is contaminated, or that one has a grumpy landowner that has never wanted to do anything. Just so we can get an idea of how the puzzle pieces fit together. So there's that area that's north of the creek, area that's south of the creek, where you get into the Vista property, the PG&E property, and maybe even look at the triangle lot and, you know, that piece all together, because those pieces can fit together correctly. Now, you know, that piece of the world also has some transportation connection opportunities. Flopping across the street onto the working waterfront area, being able to look at it with Mark's eyes, not my eyes, because he'll see things different than I will. So curating it so that we understand what it looks like from the fishermen, from the mariculture, just from a how do you earn a living in that area and what are my space needs and how does all that work out. And then probably the same thing on sort of the middle area of the Embarcadero. What are we looking at when we're looking at a project like Charisse's? What did it take to put that together? Because sometimes you just see the pretty front on it. You don't see all the work that had to go underneath it, all the rehabilitation that had to go on in the boatyard just to make that work. We don't appreciate what it's like to sort of build on that sort of foundation, literally and figuratively. And then farther down, probably somewhere in between the marina and the Tidelands Park is another area, but I'd see sort of those concentrated areas.
Okay, I've kind of formed it a little bit more, but wastewater treatment plant, if we parked there, Greg does a good job at going over that. And then the bridge, we're going to talk a lot about circulation. And so possibly inviting Matt Vieira or anybody from fire to talk about that, or even Greg, as far as that goes with what's possible in that particular zone where the bridge is over the creek or the river, whatever it is, depending on the time of year. I think walking that is important too, because we're going to be discussing paid parking in Coleman. So at least wrapping around that direction instead of driving directly to Tog Nazini's. I'm fine with walking from the wastewater treatment plant. And then the working waterfront measure D, Mark, that would be a great thing for you to explain to a lot of us, like how much is going on there, how much traffic and safety and all of the components that are in that zone. Then there's also the triangle lot, which is a parking area that's somewhat used for storage that's been called out as a public parking area. I think is really vital for us to like physically walk and see and talk about. And then the other ones that we talked about, Harbor Walk Plaza, Market Plaza, Libertine, and then down to Tideland. So, yeah, and then a boat ride sounds good.
One final comment from me is that would we have this scheduled as a two-hour tour or a three-hour tour? What did it take for you to travel that distance? Do we just make it a 2-to-5 meeting rather than a 3-to-5 meeting?
It took us 3 hours, but of course 1 hour of that was on a boat. I would plan on a three-hour meeting, especially if we end up walking across the pedestrian bridge into Coleman Park. I don't think the actual transportation from one station to the next won't be a formal part of the meeting. I think it'll be structured where the actual meeting's taking place in different locations. Some people may choose to drive to the next one, or some people may choose to only go to one or two of the stations, and then others can walk if they wish. Okay. But as far as time, I would budget for 3 hours.
Okay.
If you don't mind, we will probably reach out to some of these committee members to request that you give presentations on kind of respective sites along the waterfront based on your firsthand knowledge and experience.
Any other comments from the committee? You need anything else? Any other comments from us on that matter?
Amy, anything else you can think of?
I don't believe so. Like Erlyn said, we'll be reaching out and making sure that everyone knows what the logistics are before that day.
Okay.
We're looking forward to it.
Thank you. With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.